University. Today's program was prepared by Jeremy Shear, with help from Halden Cohn in astronomy. There are hundreds more moments of science on our website at amos.indiana.edu. To get podcasts, click on the podcast button. For A Moment of Science, I'm Yael Cassander.
In sports, the St. Louis Blues are in Detroit tonight to take on the Red Wings. The Blues have lost twice in Detroit this season, including a 4-3 shootout defeat February 2nd. St. Louis needs a win tonight to keep from falling further behind in the Western Conference's postseason race. The Blues fell to Chicago last night, 3-1. The White Sox take on Milwaukee and Phoenix in Cactus League play today, while the Chicago Cubs host Cleveland in Mesa, Arizona. The Sox lost to the Padres 6-1 yesterday, and the Cubs are coming off an 8-8 tie with the Oakland Athletics. And today is the last Florida game for the St. Louis Cardinals, and they're spending it with the Marlins. The Cardinals lost to the Mets yesterday, 5-2. Last I checked, those games had not gotten underway. That's a look at sports.
WI Law programs are made possible in part by Bevere Cafe 2, offering gourmet sandwiches, salads, and specialty coffees with seating inside or outside in the lower courtyard of the Institute for Genomic Biology next to Morrow Plotz on the U of I campus.
It's 2:42. Voters in Champaign County will have the future of education funding in their hands when they hit the polls next Tuesday. At issue is a referendum to raise the county sales tax by a penny per dollar. The money would fund school building projects, pare down debt, and potentially lower property taxes. As AM 580's Tom Rogers reports, after one failed attempt, the referendum's supporters are taking nothing for granted.
When the group called Citizens Looking at Supporting Schools or CLASS planned their strategy last fall, they assumed that rural voters, many of them big farmland owners, would approve of a higher sales tax in exchange for a drop in property taxes. They also thought urban voters in Champaign and Urbana would be tougher to sell, especially University of Illinois students who'd pay sales taxes for schools they don't even use. Mark Shagnon says the vote last November caught everyone by surprise. It failed by less than 300 votes.
Ironically, it turned out that those are the areas that actually passed the sales tax referendum, but not a large vote, but they passed. But it was in the rural districts of our Champaign County that didn't pass it, which was a shock to the committee.
So Shagnon and the CLASS committee reorganized. Shagnon is a Champaign Unit 4 administrator. His and other school boards again approved the one-cent sales tax question for the April 7th election. But this time, their campaign is not a one-size-fits-all county-wide effort. Urbana School Board President Mark Netter says supporters have split up by districts.
Some communities have already built schools, so their primary focus will be on tax relief. Others don't have much bonded debt, but they need to redevelop some of their facilities. So we're all a little different, which is why we're trying to make this local campaign one vote at a time.
Between last fall and this spring, nothing in the referendum has changed. State law lets school districts use the county sales tax concept to build new schools, rehab old ones, or pay off old bonds. Those districts can then take the savings from those paid-off bonds to lower their property tax rates. Many school boards are promising that tax relief, even though it's not required. Netter says if those boards don't make good on those promises, voters hold the power.
The biggest guarantor of holding public officials accountable to keep their promises is the next election. I mean, what should you do with elected officials who don't keep their promises?
Now, few people would disagree that school districts need to maintain quality buildings to teach children properly. And many Champaign County districts expect to use sales tax proceeds for direly needed projects, like a new early childhood center in Urbana, newer expanded schools in Savoy and northern Champaign, and energy efficiency improvements all over. With urban districts hoping for majority support again, districts in outlying areas are trying to convince their more skeptical voters. They're getting help from groups like the Chamber of Commerce in Mahomet, where the sales tax referendum lost handily last fall. Chamber President Eric Bonham says business people are sensitive to new taxes, but they also know that school construction projects mean new construction jobs, and nice new schools attract workers.
How can I attract employees to the community where my business is at? And good schools are by far the top thing. You know, by having a good maintenance program, good schools to send our kids to, I mean, it's just a draw.
The Champaign County Chamber of Commerce took no position on the referendum. Instead, they're working with State Representative Chapin Rose on modifications to the state law that allows school facility sales taxes. Speaking from the House floor, Rose proposes modifications like a sunset clause, a scheduled end to the sales tax unless voters reapprove it, and requiring more specific and more ironclad spending plans.
Each school district would have to come to the voters with, this is what we're using the money for. And that way it would be binding on the district and it couldn't be changed by some future school board. Makes sense, right?
But Rose says his legislation wasn't drafted in time for this year's General Assembly. There are a lot of variables that could sway Tuesday's sales tax referendum vote. There's no historic presidential election like last year, but a few communities do have some hotly contested races. That could lead to wide swings in turnout. Supporters hope their efforts to plainly lay out their plans for the tax money will win voters over. But they do acknowledge that in a tough economy, nobody likes a new tax. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
Election day is next Tuesday, and you can hear results Tuesday night on AM 580. And coming up Saturday, candidates for local contested public offices have their say on the candidates' public square Saturday morning at 11 here on AM 580. Tune in to hear from the candidates who responded with commentaries on why they deserve your vote. That's Saturday morning at 11 here on AM 580. It's 2:46. This is the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Celeste Quinn. Are you curious about what happens inside a College of Veterinary Medicine? How vets are trained? What services does a large veterinary clinic provide? This Saturday, Illinois' only veterinary college will open its doors to the public. The annual Veterinary Medicine Open House at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign is set for this Saturday, April 4th. The event gets underway at 9 a.m. and wraps up at 4 p.m. The college is located at 2001 South Lincoln Avenue, Urbana, just south of Florida Avenue. Students in the U of I's College of Veterinary Medicine will have more than 40 exhibits and demonstrations ready to go when the doors open Saturday morning. Chris Bowie, Director of Communications for the college, is on the line with me this afternoon to tell us what to expect at this year's open house. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Celeste. Thanks for having me.
Sure. So what's new for 2009?
One of the things we will be featuring this year is a new Ask the Vet with our primary care veterinarian. He'll be joining our hospital's staff in May. So people who have questions about their pets can come by and talk to Dr. Candy Norell, and she'll have some giveaways for folks there as well. We also have our emergency service giving away magnets, and there's going to be a quiz for the kids about toxic dangers they may have in their own home. So be prepared to answer that question when you get to the emergency service booth.
Okay. And will we be able to look inside the various departments of the facility?
The hospital will have its two wards in the large animal clinic open, and there'll be animal exhibits to visit there. The surgery areas for both the food animal and equine surgery, you'll be able to walk through and see what happens in those areas. We'll also have ongoing demonstrations of our underwater treadmill from our animal rehabilitation program.
Okay. Now, the grounds at the college are very nice, and the weather forecast looks very good for you.
Beautiful.
Sunny,
day.
Mostly sunny with a high of 65. So,
perfect.
So can we picnic on the grounds?
There will be a food vending through our production medicine club.
Mm-hmm.
So very reasonable meals sold here, but you are certainly welcome to bring food from outside. There are not a lot of tables, but if you want to bring a blanket and spread that on the lawn, that's perfectly fine.
Okay. And do you have a website or a phone number for us more info?
I would direct folks to vetmed.illinois.edu/openhouse all together.
Okay. Chris Bowie, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Saturday, April 4th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., more than 300 vet med students at the University of Illinois College of Veterinary Medicine will host the annual open house, a behind-the-scenes look at the state's only veterinary college. The college is located at 2001 South Lincoln Avenue, Urbana, just south of Florida Avenue, and there's plenty of free parking.
I'm walking, hear the need.
And maybe if we can, we should walk to the Vet Med open house. Tomorrow, April 3rd, residents of Champaign County will begin a friendly competition with the people of Peoria, racing one another to the moon and back. No spaceships are involved. Everyone is invited to take part. Jamie Kleiss joins me this afternoon to tell us about how we can be part of Moonwalk 2009, and we'll check in with her as well to see how many people have signed up to date. Jamie Kleiss is Health and Wellness Program Coordinator for University of Illinois Extension, Champaign County, and she's one of the organizers of Moonwalk 2009. Thanks, Jamie.
Hi. I hope it's nice to be able to walk there.
Yeah.
I love this nice weather.
Okay. Mostly sunny. High 65 in Champaign-Urbana on Saturday.
Great.
We're no excuses for sitting on your rear end.
Definitely not. We want to get out and enjoy it.
Okay. So how many people are signed up and ready to go?
We have over 1,300 people signed
Excellent.
Up and ready to go. So that's great, great news. Well, I think we're actually going to be real good competitors this year from what I've found out from the other two cities competing with us, which are Peoria and the Quad Cities. We're right up there with them this year.
Okay, that's good, because last year we got to the moon, but we couldn't get back.
Yeah, you know, it was our first year, so we were testing out the water, see how it goes. And I think this year people are ready. We about have the same numbers they do, so I think we're ready to go this year.
Okay. Now, it starts April 3rd. Are you going to continue to encourage people to sign up?
Definitely. There is no deadline to sign up for this. So, you know, if you've got a team or you're already signed up, you can still invite people to join you, or you can still sign up as an individual as well. That's always an option.
Okay. And how do we do that?
You go to our website, which is moonwalk.extension.uiuc.edu. And on there, it tells you exactly what to do. If you want to register a team, you give your team a name, and then you invite people via email. Or if an individual, you can just sign up there by yourself.
Okay, and the idea is to get out there and walk and log miles, and then all the miles get added up, and at the end of the race, which is?
June 12th,
we see who came out ahead.
Definitely, and I hope it's us this year, and there is a walking stick trophy, and I think it would be pretty cool as our second year to be able to claim that from the two that have had it for a couple years. So we have 135 teams, which is 15 more than we had last year. So we are definitely growing, and we've got teams from everywhere.
Okay, and you know, even though it's a competition, the benefits of walking are such that everyone participating is a winner.
Definitely, and that's the whole goal of the project is, you know, almost everybody can walk and reap the benefits that we really can get from just 30 minutes a day even. But ideally, you want 10,000 steps. So if you wear a pedometer, that's really your goal. It's about 5 miles.
Okay, so we need a pedometer to participate.
You don't have to. That's probably just the easiest way.
Okay.
So you can log your steps or miles. Or you can actually do your miles biked, your miles swam, if you ran, aerobics, things like that. You just enter in how long you did it, and there's a drop-down menu, and it automatically converts it for you.
Okay.
So it's kind of a cool feature on there.
Yeah. What about pushing the vacuum cleaner?
Oh, I think those are definitely steps counted. Definitely.
Okay. Now, Tom Kasich of the News Gazette is serving in the role of, I guess I would call him, Grand Marshal.
Yes.
Is he planning any community walks like he did last year?
He is, actually. Every Saturday, we're going to have a community walk in different parks and rec centers and forest reserves. And I asked him, about his walk this year, and he's actually going to do one on U of I campus. We're really excited about that. It's going to be Memorial Day weekend, that Saturday morning. And he's got the walk already planned out and ready to go for that. So he's going to be there at our lunch party tonight to get everybody excited and ready to go.
Okay. And how can we check in on the miles we've walked collectively? Is that going to happen?
It is on our website. And it's actually kind of cool that if you actually enter, let's say, 5 miles, our ticker will go up 5 miles. So it's on the homepage of our website starting tomorrow, and we'll see how many collective miles. And a round trip, I should tell everybody, is 477,400 miles.
Okay.
So that's what we got to get to at least.
Okay. Well, who knows? You know, you never know. Maybe we could make it there and back twice.
Oh, I hope so. I definitely hope so. And so to win, we have to make one round trip, and we also have to have the highest average per registered walker. So it's not only important that we have people, we got to have some active people to do this. So
all right.
Let's get our moon shoes ready.
All right. moonwalk.extension.uiuc.edu. Is that the website?
That is correct.
Okay, Jamie, thanks again.
Thank you.
We'll check in with you later.
Great. Thank you.
Okay, Jamie Kleiss is Health and Wellness Program Coordinator for University of Illinois Extension, Champaign County. She's also one of the organizers of Moonwalk 2009. Again, that website, moonwalk.extension.uiuc.edu.
I want to walk you home. Please let me walk you home. I want to walk you home. Please let me walk you home. You look so good to me. I wish I was a lucky guy who could walk you right on down the aisle. I love the way you walk. I love to hear you talk. I love the way you walk. I love to hear you talk. I'm not trying to be smart. I'm not trying to break your heart, but if I ask you for a date...
Earth and sky.
We cannot predict earthquakes in the sense of being able to tell exactly where, exactly when, and exactly how big.
You're listening to Kathleen Tierney of the Natural Hazards Center at the University of Colorado. She said that because no one can make predictions about earthquakes far in advance, people in high-risk areas always need to be prepared.
They can develop household disaster plans.
Some communities have warning systems. Earthquake-prone Japan developed a national alert system in 2007, which tries to warn the public the moment scientists detect a large tremor. The Japanese system doesn't just rely on seismology. It also relies on a well-informed population. In other parts of the world, where populations may be more demographically diverse, getting out earthquake preparedness information can be a challenge.
In terms of different language groups, different ethnic groups, groups that use different types of media.
For now, Tierney advised, people in vulnerable areas should stay vigilant, especially when it's been a while since the last quake. Today we're observing the International Year of Planet Earth, thanks to the National Science Foundation and the U.S. Geological Survey. More at yearofplanetearth.org. We're Earth Sky, a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.
Programs on WILL AM are made possible in part by Krannert Center for the Performing Arts. Coming April 14th, experience the National Philharmonic of Russia with featured soloist Demos Matsuyev. More information is available at krannertcenter.com.
It's 2 minutes before 3 o'clock. This is the Afternoon Magazine, winding up and getting ready to make way for The World, which is coming up next here on WILL 588.